Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Of the word, while you're doing that, gentlemen, this Friday night, 7 p.m., manpower night, there's nothing greater than when men get together. We worship together, receive the word together, eat barbecue together, and not Bill Miller's. This is glorified, sanctified, anointed brisket, ribs, sausage, sides. Calories don't count when you're on the church campus. It's going to be great. I cannot wait. Friday night, 7 o'clock, next door. Don't sign up. Show up. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, well, actually, find a man and tell them, don't sign up. Show up. Some of the ladies were asking, can we order to-go plates? No, can't. You really think there's going to be any left? Come on. And remember, Ignite Summer Camp signups are going on. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, King James Version, also Colossians 2, verse 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I love that word, transform. You watch that movie Transformers. I mean, they look one way, but then in just the blink of an eye, they change into something else. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So Colossians 2:8, he's saying, forget what they say if it doesn't line up with who he is in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's time to cancel some things. You may be seated. How many of you still use email? A lot of us still use email. I made the mistake of mentioning email to a teenager the other day. They said, I don't have an email address. They looked at me like I was talking about 8-tracks or facsimiles. And one of my pet peeves, and I guess it might be a little OCD, is I don't like things in my inbox, because they just stare at me multiple times a day, begging for my attention. There's nothing like having a clean and cleared inbox, even if it's only for like 8 seconds. I just breathe a little freer. But what I have started doing, which has changed my life, is the moment I get an email and I read it from somewhere I don't know, something I didn't request, I go to the bottom of that email and I hit unsubscribe. Although in IT, one of my IT friends told me, when you hit unsubscribe, all you're doing is announcing to everybody in that company, they read the email. And for everyone you unsubscribe to, there's 10 more that take their place. It's like these gray hairs I've been plucking out of my beard. Everyone that comes in and I take care of it, it calls 4 cousins to come and take its place. And the latter state was worse than the former. So I read that somewhere. But learning what needs to be canceled and what needs to be there is something that I believe every believer and follower of Jesus Christ not only has to get really good at, but we have to be good at it every day of our life. Because every time you cancel one thing, the enemy said, well, if that doesn't work, maybe this will work. He'll come at you another way and he'll keep trying. And the Bible says that it's the small boxes that spoil. And so a lot of times it's not something big, but it's a lot of little things that he's nitpicking you with, trying to get you to co-sign on something. But I am here to tell you that as believers, we are spirit-fed. and we are spirit-led, which means that we know what to cancel, that we can cancel the enemy's agenda, but we can also unleash God's purpose in our life. The definition of cancel, the top two definitions would be to make void or to publicly reject. Cancel culture in our culture, when you take it at its very at its very face value, and the most basic definition it is cancel culture is never a private thing, but it is a public thing. Where people that have a lot of influence or followers or a lot of eyeballs on them, they rise up and say, we're no longer going to accept this or this person or this way. And they get all everybody behind their effort and behind their agenda. And it's a very public dismissal of things. And can I encourage you, when the enemy comes, we need to learn that a lot of times we like to rebuke him in private, but we need to live a public faith. And we need to let people know that, listen, the devil is coming against me here, but I publicly reject and I void and I nullify what he's trying to do in my life. But it is not enough just to bind the enemy, but we also have to unleash or loose the Spirit of God. And I believe that a lot of believers have gotten really good at pleading the blood of Jesus and telling the devil no. But every time you tell the devil no to something, you better pivot and say yes to something of God. If you say no to fear, you better say yes to faith. If you say no to worry, you better say yes to worship. And it all comes down to what we are canceling and what we are unleashing. A couple of the antonyms for cancel would be to approve, to permit. There's a revelation that Jesus gives in Matthew 16. I just did a whole series on it a few weeks ago. It's a powerful weapon in the arsenal for believers, Matthew 16, 19. This is when Peter, when Simon is transformed into Peter because of the revelation of who Jesus is. And this is one of the things that Jesus turns to him and says, I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so the revelation of binding and loosing really comes down to what we are canceling and what we are unleashing. There are thousands of decisions we make every single day. Some of them are out of habit now, but some of them we really have to think and pray about and be spirit-led about. Some of them we make without even thinking. We've made them so many times. But can I encourage you that whenever there is a decision to be made, realize that you are either canceling or unleashing something. You are either canceling the agenda of the adversary and you are unleashing the purpose of God, or you are canceling the purpose of God and you are unleashing the agenda of the adversary. So we as believers have the power to bind, to cancel, and to loose, which is to unleash. If you're taking notes, write this down. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can control how it affects you. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can, and we can control how we let it affect us. You say, prove that, or just share. There are people in this room that you've been given a bad doctor's report in the past, or maybe this year, maybe this week. And so your choices there are, or we can cancel what the enemy is trying to do and what the doctors have said, and we can unleash the healing power of God in our life. Because your choice when the doctor looks at you and tells you something negative is you can fall apart or you can fall on your knees. You can start whining or you can start your comeback and you can start winning. You can say, woe is me, or you can say, God is a good God. He didn't save me, raise me, deliver me to bring me here to let this thing say, I cancel the assignment of the adversary. I unleash the promise of God in my life. I stand on the promises. They are yes and amen. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, that settles it, and I believe it. I'm just trying to teach you what it means to cancel one thing and unleash the other. There are every day we've got things that come up
and we can either cancel or we can unleash. I choose to unleash the power of God in my life at every moment when I could turn and run. I choose to stand in faith. So you cannot control what happens to you, but you can control how it affects you. Jesse Duplantis told me something 10 or 12 years ago that I think about at least two or three times a week, if not more, since the day he told me. I've thought of this hundreds of times. And here's a sidebar. The greatness of a sermon or quote is not how good it sounds when you hear it. That doesn't prove the greatness of it. It's do you remember it? 6 months, 6 years, 20 years down. This is one of those things where you think of all the great things he said in this room. He's been coming here for many, many years now. I think of all the great things he said next door, all the great sermons that he said. But the greatest sermon that he ever said wasn't behind a pulpit, it was in an office just talking back and forth. And this is what he said. He said, Brandon, when the enemy comes, because you know the enemy will come. I mean, the Bible tells us, Matthew 4 teaches us that Jesus was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness and the enemy came to tempt him. The enemy always comes to tempt you before you're about to be elevated, promoted, or when you're moving forward. He doesn't come at you when you're moving backwards, doesn't come at you when you're standing still. But the moment you make up your mind, I'm not living like this anymore, but I am going to do what God called me to do, be what he called me to do. I am about his purpose. I am going to live a holy and acceptable life. I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to him. I'm a walking, talking miracle. I'm going to preach the gospel, lay hands on people. When you make that kind of statement, the enemy comes against you. He said, when the enemy comes and does his best to discourage me and tries to make me doubt the promises of God, I turn to him and use his very own weapon against him. This is what he told me that just changed my life. He said, Brandon, when he tries to make me doubt, I doubt. Did it go over? It needs to hit you right here. I doubt. He said, when he comes and he says a lie to me, he said, I just look at him and say, I doubt that. You ever have anybody say that to you? It's so dismissive. Like I'm coming to you with all of this information, some of which I deem as fact, and I'm sharing this with you, and you just look at me and you just, three words, I doubt that. It just deflates. When the enemy comes to us with a lie, when the enemy comes to us with something that is contrary to the word of God, you and I have to be able to say, even though it might sound like what it looks like in your life, you and I have to be able to dismiss the adversary and say, I doubt that. The same way that it diffuses us, it diffuses him. The same way it deflates us, it deflates him. But guess what? The only way you can say, I doubt that, is to know the word of God and the promises of God, so that when he says something that matches what you see, but you know in your heart of hearts, that's not what God said, that's not what God's word said, you can stand there and say, I doubt that. I doubt your doubt. Such a simple, almost elementary principle to turn and use the devil's own weapons against him. The same way that he makes you feel when you are in a low point of your life is the same way you make him feel when you turn that thing back on him. When you feel defeated, when he comes at you, when you go right back at him with faith and the word of God, you make him feel defeated. The same way that he wants you to hang your head and just drag your feet and leave the room is the same thing that happens when you operate in faith and you operate in the word of God and you say, get thee behind me, Satan. I doubt, I reject, I cancel that assignment. I cancel that assignment. Seems so elementary, but that principle that God dropped on me all those years ago helped shape my life and shape my future. Give me just a few minutes here, because there is something that God has given me from this. But I want us to grab a hold of it tonight. Have you ever dealt with doubt? I've dealt with doubt. God's promises don't match up with what I see. Check this out. Then the enemy sends people, sometimes church folk, to now say what they see. You might be the only one that's heard from God concerning what you see. So the devil now is bringing doubt. Your friends are bringing doubt. Man, don't watch Fox News and CNN, because you watch them for 15 minutes. You're doubling down on your doubt. But you know what doubt really is? I don't think that what they said was going to happen is going to happen. Doubt is really faith in the wrong thing. Because doubt is saying, what God said is going to happen, I don't believe that. What the enemy said is going to happen, that's what I believe, because it's what I see, and it's easier for me to say what I see and believe what I see than to stand on the promises of God and say, God, I don't see how you're going to do it, but I trust you and I believe in you, and if you said it, then I'm going to stand here and believe it, even though it doesn't feel like it, smell like it, look like it. And so when you doubt, I learned this in school. I just taught this because I am the best homeschool teacher in San Antonio. That two negatives make a positive. So when I doubt your doubt, it's now faith in action. You got to learn when the enemy shows up. And you know what? Now when he shows up, Sister Tammy, I don't even let him get his lie out. You know why? Because he's a liar. Everything he says is a lie. So when he shows up, I don't even have to hear it. Doesn't matter what he says. I know it's going to be contrary to what the Word of God has proclaimed over my life as a believer and an ambassador of Christ. And so when he shows his little Weasley eyes and he pops his head up at the Fender house, or he tries to meet me at the curb, I just go ahead and start saying, I doubt it. I don't even need to know what you're about to say. I doubt it. I reject it. It's not for me. Go down the road. Go down the street. You're at the wrong house, the wrong family, the wrong man. I know what God has said. Well, it doesn't look like, it doesn't matter if it looks like it, because God promised it, and I'm standing on the promises of God. Cancel doubt by doubting doubt. Cancel doubt. Anybody ever deal with fear? And if you don't raise your hand, has anybody ever dealt with lying? Faith is substance hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Sounds exactly like fear to me. But one is in Christ and one is in the world. I've got good news for those of you that are dealing with fear tonight. The fact that you operate in fear means that you can operate in faith. The fact that you're scared tonight means that you can be faithful tonight. You know why? Because you are scared of something that has not happened, probably won't happen. You can't even see it. That's what faith is. I can't see it. It hasn't happened yet, but I believe it's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what. South Texas, born and raised. I live out in the country. I feel like I'm a tough guy until I'm staying at home by myself. Every noise I hear outside, I go to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Why couldn't it be Michigan Chainsaw Massacre? Why couldn't it be Arkansas? Why'd it got to be Texas Chainsaw? And then I start thinking, did I lock my shop? Is my chainsaw locked up? My mind automatically goes to the worst thing that could happen.
But when you are a faith-filled person, your mind automatically goes to the best thing that could happen. Can you quit saying, well, what if it doesn't work out, and start saying, what if it does? Can you start saying, I wish they'd quit coming against me, and start saying, oh, look at all the people that God has in my corner for me. If you are fearful, you can be faithful. If you are scared, you can operate in faith tonight. I canceled my subscription on fear a long time ago. And just like some of you have been signing up for the jellies and jams of the month, and they send them to you every month, and now you're tired of it after 6 months, I'm here to tell you, I canceled my subscription, and every day of my life, faith shows up. Every day of my life, faith-filled people show up. Every day of my life, the word comes alive. Every day of my life, miracles are showing up. Every day of my life, don't you ever go through bad things. Oh, I've been through some hell in my life, but I'm not saying, when's the other shoe gonna drop? I'm saying, oh, when's the blessing? When's the breakthrough? When my God shows up, he's going to change everything. If you're fearful, you can be faithful. Just like that. Quit thinking about what's the worst and start thinking about what's the best. Start thinking about, you know, when you worry and you have all of those things going through your mind, and what if this happens, and what if this? Quit playing the what-if scenario on that side and start talking about, what if I woke up tomorrow and my bank account showed my mortgage paid in full? What would happen on Friday if I showed up at the doctor and they said, we made a mistake in your last scan, and what we said was there is not there? What if some of you are thinking, man, I'm going to get home and my spouse is going to be hungover, my spouse is going to be running the town. What if your spouse hits that door before we get done with serving? What if your spouse meets you at the driveway saying, something happened to me about 8:05 tonight, and God got a hold of me? It's not fear, it's faith. Cancel your fear. Hopelessness. Abraham, Romans said, hope against hope. Hopelessness is having the feeling or having hope that everything will turn out bad. Hope is the same feeling, but that everything is going to turn out good. I shared the story with you online many years ago and posted a video, and it was a gentleman came at me, and he said, all you preachers, you faith preachers, he said, you're giving false hope. And I love when he said that, because I had an answer ready. I said, sir, there is no such thing as false hope, because that's what hope is. Because their definition of false hope is that you're giving them a belief that tomorrow is going to be better, even if the circumstances don't change. I've got news for you, my friend. That's what hope is. My hope says, I believe tomorrow will be better. That is not false. If I get to tomorrow and it's not better, guess what? My faith says, Friday is my day. Saturday is my day. May is my month. June is my month. That's what hope is. I canceled hopelessness. Hope is what keeps you treading water. I shared a story, a scientific study with Bishop. He said, ooh, that's good. I'm going to use that on Sunday. I said, no, you're not. I'm going to use it Wednesday. There was, back in 1950, a scientist who wanted to test the abilities of lab rats. And so he put these lab rats in a pool of water to see how long they could tread water. On average, those rats would tread water for about 15 minutes. Then they would give up, they would sink, and they would take their last gulp of oxygen before they die. Did it to dozens of them. Around that 15-minute mark, they quit swimming. But they put in another group, and right when they were about to give up and right when they were getting ready to take their last gulp of oxygen, they would scoop in there and they would save them. They would set them out on a towel and they would dry them. A few minutes later,
The ones that were about to give up, they would put them right back in the water. Do you know how long they swam the second time? 60 hours. Because once they had hope that a hand was going to come and scoop them out of the water, they said, that's all I need. I hope that it's around the 15-minute mark like it was last time. But if it takes an hour, I'm going to keep on swimming. My hope remains. Past the first day at 24 hours, I thought he'd come by now, but I guess he's busy, but he'll be here before I die. I know he's not going. Can I encourage somebody today? You've been treading water all of 2020. You've been treading water coming into 2021, but it's time that you cancel the hopelessness. Your hope is in the Lord. Jesus is your anchor. And just when it looks like you're about to give up, he's going to come in and scoop you up, set you on a solid rock, dry you off, and get you ready for your next. Now, Bishop uses that on Sunday. Y'all act like y'all never heard it before. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, cancel hopelessness. Cancel hopelessness, anxiety. I've never dealt with anxiety like I know that people do. I was very surprised as a youth pastor the first time we took kids to camp. They were having panic attacks just leaving the comfort of mom and dad. And I mean, the nurses are having them breathe in paper sacks. And they're shaking. And they can't even talk because, I mean, they're anxious. Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. You know how I kill anxiety? I flip anxious. Because some people have asked me before, Brother Michael, are you scared? I say, I'm not scared.
Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm anxious. That anxious there now is an expectation, Webster says. A strong desire. What used to scare me now excites me. What used to make me go into an attack, a panic attack, now I'm saying, ooh, that means that God is somewhere close. And my miracle is within arm's reach. Oh, tomorrow about this time. Oh, Mandy, what is God doing? Where's he taking us? You're scared? I'm not scared. I am anxious. I've got a strong desire that God is getting ready to do something good. Well, don't you know the enemy's attacking? Oh, he tipped his hand. He only attacks those that are on the move and growing. I am closer to my destiny than I have ever been. You are closer to the promise and your breakthrough than you have ever been. Don't let an attack from the adversary make you panic. Don't let anxiety make you throw in the towel. This is your day. Keep on moving. God is in control. Cancel your anxiety.
One more. Depression.
I don't want to make you mad with this statement. I've never been depressed a day in my life. That doesn't mean that depression is not real. It's amazing how many people still think COVID is a farce when it's killed 500,000 plus people in our country. That I've had friends that have died from it, people that have lost loved ones. We've lost loved ones, for those of you connected in this church, and people still think that it's not real. Depression is real. Depression is when you are so consumed with today that you cannot make it to tomorrow. When you should be so consumed with tomorrow that it doesn't matter what it looks like today, that I'm going to make it there. That's why a vision,
That's why a promise. That's why a purpose. That's why God's showing you a glimpse of your future. That's why God's showing you a glimpse of your 20. Why? Because God has promised me things in 2022. God has promised me things about my kids. God has promised me things about myself. God has shown me things about Living Way that I can't be depressed. I can't stop here. Why? Because I got so much in front of me there. I better make sure that I'm healthy here so I can get there. And so I'm going to cancel the depression.
You say, is it as easy as canceling? It is. However, I'm not telling you not to go seek help. I'm not telling you to not look up a great Christian counselor. But what I am telling you is God has given us the power to bind and loose. And you can bind depression, but you are going to have to loose life. You can bind that spirit, but you're going to have to loose the spirit of joy. You can bind that spirit of today is so bad, I can't make it to my tomorrow. But you get so full of faith. But you say, I don't care what it looks like on April 28th. I don't care how bad I feel right now. I don't care how tough it was for me to get out of bed this morning. I'm talking to somebody online tonight. You've stumbled into this session. Maybe you're a Living Way member. Maybe you are not. Maybe you're watching on April 28th. Maybe you're watching in 2032. But you have stumbled into this session. And you are thinking about ending it all because of the set of circumstances and how it looks today. But can I encourage you that God is not only in your today. God is in your tomorrow. You have a day that is destined in front of you. Don't give up now. Don't stop now. Cancel that depression. Start praying to God. He hears you. Call on the name of Jesus. He'll show up. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. I've never been depressed, but I speak in tongues every day. I've never been depressed, but I worship every day. I've never been depressed, but I devo every day. I've never been depressed, but I surround myself with faith-filled people. I've never been depressed, but I turn off the news. Oh, come on.
Cancel. Cancel depression. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Time that we use the same weapon against the enemy. I want to bring glory to God in everything that I do. The Bible says that God makes mercy that is fresh and new every morning. I don't like coffee. I love the smell of coffee. Bath and Body Works, they're ripping everybody off with their candles. But I'm a sucker, and I'll pay $25 every now and then. But I want that campfire coffee one. If you need an idea for Father's Day, the one that smells like coffee. I like it. But when Mandy gets up in the morning, she makes coffee every morning. And when I smell it, I know before I open my eyes, a new day is dawn. That God has kept me safe. That God has been merciful to me. And I think it smells like coffee. But then God reminds me, no, that smells like mercy. Every time you smell that smell, it's my mercy that is waking you up. Every time, oh, come on, when you open up your eyes and you become coherent tomorrow, you know who's excited? God's excited. All my creation has risen again. All my son and my daughter's ready to do life with me again. And all of heaven's excited because you have woken up again. But I love to put the devil in his place. And so I just have that feeling, Chris, that when my eyes flutter open and I swing my legs and I set them on that tile floor of my house, I think God says, look, he's up. But I think the devil says, ah, he's up. And he used to make me doubt. And now he knows all day I'm going to make him doubt. He used to make me worry. And now he knows all day I'm going to make him worry. He used to make me scared, and now he's scared as can be. Used to make me anxious. and now he's anxious. Loud noises going off in hell. Is that you, Brandon? Where? He's jumping. Because I've learned what it means to cancel him and unleash him. Standing on your feet tonight. Those are the things that we must cancel. But I'll end with these six. Jesus canceled hunger when he said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus canceled lost when he said, I am the way. Jesus canceled every lie when he said, I am the truth. Jesus canceled dead ends when he said, I am the door. Jesus canceled darkness when he said, I am the light. And Jesus canceled death when he said, I am life. I am resurrection. If you're in this house tonight, we are right on time. But we're going to take a few moments to make sure that whatever the enemy has tried to attach to you, whatever he's been lying to you about, however he's been making you feel, we need to remind you that that is not from heaven. That is not how God wants you to live. That Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. If you are ready to cancel some things in your life, I need